All right, so do try to settle your mind and body. Get comfortable in your chair or your cushion. Sort of body, you know, hands at peace, eyes in the right place to bring calm, nostrils evenly breathing. And if you like, you can further clear your energy with a nice long exhale. Only be sure to let the next breath be as gentle and natural as possible. And then take that as a focal point to settle and center your mind. So breathing, you know, naturally and deeply is as much as possible. In a sort of spontaneous way, let the rhythm of the breath gradually lead you into a place of more centered clarity and calm. Alternately, settle the mind from distraction, reining in the whole world, all the energy you put out. And bringing all that gathered energy and awareness to bear on your fatigue or fogging so that you're shifting into that centered place of deep clarity and calm, inner stillness, presence. And as you do this, you may want to also sort of tune in to the breath body of light, letting your awareness travel on the pulse of oxygen and fresh energy that fills your whole body with every breath. So as you begin to wake up in your meditative body and shift out of the sense of your body as a solid, separate thing, try and feel your body as not only fluid, but sort of almost empty, like spacious inside, with this delicate rainbow tissue of life and awareness. And that with each breath, it's filling and emptying with a rainbow wave of pure energy and awareness. Just like a cove in a gentle, calm sea, filling and emptying. Or like a wave in a sea, sort of swelling and ebbing. Through that, feel that, you know, you can find a part of your body, a part of your spectrum, where you can lighten up and open up naturally. You can break out of the shell of defensiveness and shed the skin of insensitivity and find yourself with a sort of more membranous openness to the world, while protected by the inner healing energy and light or luminous awareness within you. And feel that as you open up, the firewall of healing energy and awareness moves around you, filtering out any negativity in the world, any triggers that might provoke a reaction or reactivity within you. Instead, in this sort of proactive state, feel you can rise above the stress world and your normal sort of beleaguered sense or lonely sense of struggling in the world, and instead sort of really proactively, confidently, and caringly engage and open up and see the world outside with a new face, with a sort of more confident, more, you know, open and a radically engaged or present face. And you can see through the surface disruptions in the city, country, and planet. Tap into the healing energy that keeps us all living and growing. See, each living being has this energy that I'm feeling now within them, if only they can tune in. Tap into the balanced sensitivity within each living being. Feel the balanced sensitivity that I'm feeling now thanks to balancing my energy and awareness, all living beings potentially can feel. Tune into the deep, spacious awareness, the pure, natural intelligence of open-minded clarity within each being. Feel that underneath all of the buzzing confusion, the noise, the partisanship, the conflict, and the sort of myopia or self-involvement that rules too much of our world, that there is this natural intelligence where living beings, especially we human beings, can open out and objectively see and take in the world and learn and change. Finally, also scan the content of your mind, the surface of all the story, the film that you produce internally with the storyline of your thinking, the dramatic action of your memories and fantasies, images, and the mood music of the emotions that sort of make the film that you project into your life or sort of onto your life. And sort of realize that each living being has that sort of multimedia production within themselves, each especially human with their complicated, active social and cultural minds, busily producing our versions of reality. So as you sort of tune in and open up your connection, you sort of face the fact that you're one bubble among sort of billions, and that each of us sort of has this luminous potential and this pure healing potential to transform our evolutionary state, our evolutionary hangover of self-protectiveness, and also transform our childhood sense of trauma and reactivity, our neurotic sense of always being on guard and small and alone. We all have the potential to transform that. And knowing that, as you grow on this path by equalizing your perceptions and feelings about all living things, yourself included, by trying to accept and value all life wherever it occurs, within you, around you, as you heal, as you confront within you the source of your own suffering, your own inner enemy, as it were, the inner limiting factor of happiness and awareness, that is the out of control, the overkill, self-protective instincts of stress and trauma, and you sort of gradually try to tame them so that you're really fit for civilized living. Realize that you gradually can uproot the confusion of yourself with all of these hungover, sort of reactive reflexes, knee-jerk reflexes, and nightmare experiences from childhood or feeling small. And as you do that, it opens up this whole new vista or a whole new garden, clears the ground for a whole new way of being based on slowly exercising and building the right tool for the job, our natural, our boundless natural potential for tolerance, acceptance, loving kindness, effective compassion, sort of communal joy or grateful joy, and equanimity, or lasting peace. You see this garden that we have within ourselves. And as you begin to practice it and exercise it and strengthen it through giving and taking, reversing the flow of give and take through practice of giving, taking care and giving love in all your interactions with yourself and others, and even mounting that on the breath, that gradually you begin to lift yourself out of the mud of evolution and childhood, start to see the vista, the potential, and blossom into the potential of this higher state of having really made it in the whole story of evolution and the story of your personal development in this life, having made it to the point where you have triumphed over your own inner enemies or limits or poisons of delusion, self-indulgence, self-pity, myopia, the demons of sort of instinctive fear, panic, and clinging, attachment, and the delusions of frustration, resentment, hurt, and anger. As you begin to triumph over those, you really begin to feel the potential for a whole new way of being. And so this next practice is all about adapting to that new way of being and moving into it. Because as if we've sort of slowly dismantled the old house, the shell and the old skin had been our, you know, our place, our self, and we now are building a whole new, more transparent, expansive, embracing, and connective self. And that's the self of the enlightened altruist, or the hero's self in the world. And we do that by applying not just equanimity and not just self-awareness and compassion, but real wisdom about who and what we are, and the wisdom that's confident and clear enough that we can see that our greatest potential for happiness is to really become, as I like to say, obligate mammals, that is to become, to totally commit our whole way of being, our whole mindset and nervous system and way of life to the tools that are really right for our life now, the positive emotions and the healing way of being in the world. And as we begin to make that commitment and start to think of ourselves now as not the frightened child or the cornered animal, but as the expansive foster parent of all, you know, the expansive grandparent of the world, or embracing, you know, loving youth of the world, that we start to really come in touch with a new spirit for life, a new energy or motivation, and the wisdom that to recognize that and know that it can be us, that it must be us, is really the next and final step in the practice of clearing the mind. And here, of course, we have to stretch our meditative muscles and sort of break through the obstacles or veils that hide the real raw materials within us that we need to build a new way of being. And as we sort of pull away those veils and tap into that raw material, we need to sort of know how to work with it and sort of galvanize it or nurse and cultivate it into the new engaged self that will help us really live happy lives in the world. Happy lives with others. And so, you know, we do reflect first on the veil of projection, that is the veil in which we tend to, you know, our minds and brains work not by reflecting the world around us like a mirror, like a camera, but by actively producing a film based on our past experience, based on our inner instincts and chemistry. And of course, if we're stuck in the rut of stress and trauma, that film is a horror film or a tragedy. And yet when we project it onto the world, we learned to do this early in childhood before we knew what we were doing. And then we sort of got reinforced in that by parents who were stuck in the same rut and by schools and institutions and society that's stuck in the same rut, we ended up confusing the film that we produce, the horror story or the tragedy of a life, you know, of struggle or conflict or disappointment, of isolation and competition. We produce that and forget that we've produced it. It comes to just be reality. So we first have to expose that film for a mere projection of our minds and our nervous systems. So that's the first sort of challenge, and we've been working on that in the practice of mind training in terms of understanding how our relationships feel the way they do, how we produce them as distressing or lonely or disappointing. And so we reflect that fundamentally all things are like that, not just our relationships, but our whole sense of the world and what it's like. And this is how, sort of in therapy or psychotherapy, we learn, you know, we have transference, but we also have a family transference and cultural transference. We project our personal experience, our family mindset, our cultural mindset onto the world and live as if that's what it is. So first we have to begin to sort of pull back that veil. And we can begin now by sort of reflecting that the way we see the world is not the world. It's a map that we've projected outward in order to, like a stage setting that we've set up for our film of life. So as we want to take a fresh start and become the new beings we need to be, we can just imagine breathing that all in. Imagine that the whole world as we see it, including the universe, the galaxy, the solar system, our planet, the city we live in, the block and building, and even our very body, that our sense of them as they are is really just a virtual reality that we've generated from experience or, you know, partly imagination, fear, and so on. And so we can just breathe that all in. Take two. Just imagine that as you breathe in now, the whole sense of the world just melts like a film, like a translucent film into the breath and energy that you're breathing in, and melts back into your space, into your breathing body, and into your mind, into your living, breathing mind and energy. And it leaves behind the natural state of things. And imagine that now, for just as a placeholder, imagine it as sort of a deep sea or a deep space of pure energy and awareness. Peaceful, luminous, clear, happy, blissful. So breathe your film in now. Imagine even the sense of your body as a solid made of flesh and bones and bodily fluids and bodily heat and breath gases. So realize that that's really part of nature. It isn't, you know, necessarily just as you imagine it. And the way you own your body by imagining it as yours, imagining it as cut off from the world, as stamped with your identity, your name, rank, and serial number. Imagine just breathing all of that in and letting your body as a living, breathing thing return to the natural state of things and sort of melt into that deep sea, pure energy and awareness, like a wave of pure energy and awareness. And now sort of tune into the breathing, the sort of workspace of your subtle breath, the pure energy, the neural energy that supports your awareness, and the workspace of your, you know, primal awareness, right? The deep source of clarity and calm, or the stream of consciousness that is the workspace of our creativity, of the way we create the worlds that we live in. And so as you sort of grapple with that inner space, now we've pulled the veil off from the outer world, now we need to pull the veil off from the inner world and realize that that inner world itself is not as we imagined it, that we created and constructed a subjectivity, a sense of self, a sense of person, you know, a sense of place, a sense of origin, as if all we were was the sort of the mental rubric of memories and labels and concepts and images that we've come to identify with. whereas everything else within us, our deep unconscious, our vast potential, our incredible untapped natures, our evolutionary past, our all of the rest of that vastness, we're sort of not seeing. We're just, it's like we're in the middle of a dark sea clinging to a little raft, and we just take that raft to be the world. But now we sort of we shine light on that world, on that sea, and we look at the mind that produces our film of life, and we see that that mind itself is not as we've created it, that we have imagined what our mind is. But if we shine the light of awareness and we sort of turn the camera around and we see, where is the me that I think is in there? Where is my body? Where is my sensitivity? Where is my emotional tone? Where is the storyline? And if we're deep in our process of natural mind, of natural clarity, we'll see that all of those really are very hard to pin down and just seem to slip away. And it's almost like sort of the veil is pulled away. And where we thought was a definite subject, we find less and less definiteness and more space and openness and clarity that seems not created in any way, but sort of fundamentally clear and natural, like sort of water or space or wind, something that's just a sort of, it's not even stamped with the sense of me, that this is mine, and it's not even stamped with the sense of this is the inside of a person. It could be just a luminous reflection of the natural world and its spacious energy and information, its rich information. Okay, so we try to sort of unmask the veil of subjectivity and see that we're much more spacious and open. And rather than fearing that spaciousness and openness, our mission now is to try to embrace it. And in particular, you know, sort of we have to not mistake the, you know, sort of the inner meditator, the inner voice of our meditative director, the one who's giving the directions for the whole production, even the directions for the dismantling of our stage set. And we have to not mistake that voice for ourselves either, because we're not just a string of words or thoughts or instructions. There's a real life process, a force, a presence, a space. We want to come into contact with that, what's called the fundamental realm, or the ground, the natural ground of clarity and light. And once we sort of begin to tap into that, then rather than fearing it like our death, we need to actually move into it. We need to come to own it as us, as our own. This is my real nature. This is my original face. This is my natural place. This is the true me. This is my true body. This spacious, open-mindedness, this radical open-mindedness and clarity. That's my natural intelligence, not projected onto the world, not created as me, but a fundamental force of nature that I can work with and work from. And so once we've sort of settled ourselves into that as our new ground, our new home, our new raw material, then we naturally start to find that the world starts to appear to us again in forms, that out of the ripples of that natural space or that primal flow, we start to see the reflections of things, reflections of myself, reflections of those around me. And here we need to meditate on, to keep ourselves honest and flexible as creators, that this is really a creation, that this is really like a dream, like an illusion, like an optical illusion. It seems to be real, it seems to be me, it seems to be out there, but it's not as real, it's not as me, it's not as out there as it seems. And if we maintain that sense of transparency, then we can be truly creative agents, and we can re-engage the world, as they say, as a virtual person, as an illusory person, a flexible person, personification of the spirit of, you know, freedom and the freedom of sort of being dominated by myopia of self-protectiveness and by the blinders of projection. Okay, and so we go to that, grounded in that freedom, the spacious awareness within us. We also own the personification or the becoming of the being that can really engage, that's really has the flexibility, has the creativity, has the empathy to really tune into what's needed in this situation or that situation, to adopt whatever role or way of being or way of speaking or way of thinking is really going to skillfully help people get out of their ruts, get out of their tragedy or their horror show, and really find their own way to recreate their own life. By committing to living and working from this natural space within us of the spacious, the wisdom of spacious openness, and the sister wisdom or brother wisdom of dreamy flexibility, dreamy compassion or empathy, this virtual way of reaching out and connecting, and like the expression of our spaciousness in caring forms, in loving forms, or forms of love and forms of care, then we have a new mind and body. So if we understand that those two as our new mind and body, we really have a whole new way to engage in the world that's centered not in our pain or our stress or our trauma, but centered in the right tools for the job, the pure radical open-mindedness, to really see outside of ourselves, to see where others are, to see what's needed in the whole situation and the whole planet, and the dreamy flexibility, the incredible plasticity of our mind and nervous system to adapt to situations, to needs, to express that freedom as a freedom to, not just a freedom from, a freedom to engage in a helpful way, freedom to inspire, to guide, to uplift the world around us, and to also sort of communicate that each one of us has the potential to be this kind of enlightened altruist, this kind of force, activist, force of a total awareness and total presence, total connectedness. So that's the practice of enlightened altruism, is to really learn to find those jewels within us, the spirit and energy within us, the space within us, that are the real raw materials of a new way of life that sort of may not feel like us right away, but can sort of grow into, we can, like an acquired taste, we can sort of grow into it. And when we can live from that part of ourselves, this more expansive, objective, open, and connected part of ourselves, this more like an omniscient narrator, we can really be much more effective, not only more free internally, you know, we're not stuck in our rut, but much more able also to infinitely connect. We're not in some disconnected freedom, but we have the flexibility to engage in infinite possible ways. And that's the ultimate goal of our practice of clearing and transforming the mind. So in between sessions, we can sort of meditate, sort of ask ourselves, set an intention. If we start to settle back into the rut of our reactive and isolated sense of self or our little narrow myopic film or story, to try to sort of dislodge ourselves and not continue to rework that groove and retell that story, rewrite that narrative and reproduce that film. Instead, we try to sort of dissolve it back into the spacious clarity that's the ground of freedom. And then from that space of relief and, you know, natural enjoyment and even play, we can sort of re-engage from the more flexible, expressive, and joyful place of, you know, objective engagement, engaging as needed, not from a place of defensiveness. Okay, so that's the practice within and between practice sessions. So do sort of make an intention slowly over time to, you know, become this kind of being that's much more expansive. And if it's hard for you to believe that this potential is within you. You know, this is what the Buddha and others have taught, that we have this genius, this enlightenment all within us, this nirvana already there, that it's really who we are. And it's always there within us if we can simply tune out of the suffering channel, the stress and trauma channel, the evolution and childhood channel, and instead we can tune into the sort of the bright Buddha channel, the enlightenment channel. That's always been there all along too, from the time of the happy reptile to the time of the friendly mammal and this sort of sociable primate. We've always had this other capacity for abundance and happiness within us, and so we just are going to move our sense of self over to there and live from there, because that's the right tool for the job.